6, I call this meeting to order, and we can start with attendance for Administrative Director Lalonde.
Okay, today's attendance question is, what is your Hogwarts house? We'll start with Senator Alders.
Probably Slytherin.
Awesome. Senator Ash. Senator Barrios. Senator Davison.
I think the last time I did the quiz or whatever, it was like Ravenclaw.
Senator Fisher.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's no way to do that.
Senator Kubatik.
Yeah, I know, it sucks.
Senator Maurer.
Hufflepuff.
Yeah, sorry.
Senator Piela.
I think Hufflepuff.
Senator Suki.
Why is this house crazy?
Senator Usmanova.
I'm not a huge fan of the town, so I don't know.
Chair Allard.
This is an actual thing that I did get. It's a Hufflepuff. It's a mix between a Hufflepuff.
Speaker Bailey.
Slytherin.
She's real quick with that one. I'm a Gryffindor, so. Chair Brown.
The test says Ravenclaw, so.
Chair Zorin.
I actually have no idea, and it really upsets my little sister.
Parliamentarian Bulk.
It also upsets my little sister that I haven't read Harry Potter, but the quiz they made me take, I'm a Slytherin.
Chair Hailu. Chair Happy.
I am also a Slytherin.
Chair Learned.
Hufflepuff.
Co-President Mankey.
Ravenclaw.
Ombudsperson Nelson.
I'm also a Slytherin.
Co-president Alona Lopidatos.
I've never seen the movies nor read the books, but I've been called a Hufflepuff, so that sounds right to me.
Advisor Rupel. Chair Taylor.
Sorry, it's run out. Slytherin.
Controller Thompson.
I get different results every time I take that test. I think I'm a Gryffindor, but the last time I took it was like a solid 4.5 years ago.
Nice. Chair White.
Slytherin.
Yeah. Director Wyam.
Think Ravenclaw.
Nice. Good. All right, we can now move into approval of the minutes. Are there any discrepancies with last week's minutes? Minutes are approved. We now move into community comment. Is there anybody from the community that wishes to comment? All right. Seeing none, we can move into committee updates. Up first, we have Indigenous Relations.
So tomorrow is the open participation meetings for the President's Council on Indigenous Relations. And I highly encourage all of y'all to come, give your comment, let President Becky hear you, hear your voice.
Point of inquiry, what time, location?
Yes. Oh my gosh, you're right. It's at 2, and there is a Zoom link that should have been sent out, but it's in the Interpretive Center in Anderson.
Point of inquiry, how long does it last?
Like an hour.
Are there any more committee updates?
Chair Hafty. So about the internship credit, I did talk to Julie Rudolph, and I'm gonna basically paraphrase an email that she said, and she said that this topic is very near and dear to her heart, and she has been advocating for ever since she got the role last year, and she wants to get the fees eliminated and more equitable for all students, but unfortunately the cost and pay structure and the number of credits is not handled by our office and is determined by the college. But in the past year, she has met with the provost office, the registrar Ron White with the Board of Trustees, and Jeff with the CIE and other faculty on campus. And at the last meeting of the faculty committee,
It seemed like they were making progress and hoping that change was coming to the pay and credit structure, and it was going to be either an elimination of the fee or a reduction of doing the summer internship for academic credit. But unfortunately, there was a reverse in what happened, and the cost of summer happened, and it increased. And this, we are right about the 0.5 credits for internship, and she cannot change the cost, but she did send another message requesting a change to the number of credits a student can do for an internship, and maybe reduce it down to 0.25, but she hasn't heard from them yet. And if a student does need funding or they are underpaid, they can apply for the Engage Learning Fund. And I yield my time.
Co-President Menke?
Not really a committee update, but a co-pres update. One of the things that we did last semester, that co-president Alono and I did last semester, was we talked to the Academic Operations Committee about getting Election Day off for all future schedules and all future years. We didn't get that, but the AOC did just vote to bring a proposal to the faculty for an amended class schedule for Election Day. So something similar to MLK Day during J-term, where classes will be dramatically shortened. So that'll allow everyone time to go and vote in St. Peter or to drop off their mail ballots to do whatever they gotta do. And so this is being proposed to the faculty. So just giving you an update on that. For if the faculty decides to approve that, that'll be announced probably as soon as they approve that. So just letting you all know that something like getting class off for Election Day is in the works.
Are there any more committee updates? Seeing none, we can now move into old business. Is there any old business? Seeing none, we can now move into new business. Up first, we have the PCO bylaw amendment.
So I can talk about that really quick. Director Wyam and I decided that we should help volunteers that make it to nationals, and it would only go towards primarily competitive organizations, which is under our bylaws. This was also brought up by Megan, or admin, correct? Was she called advisor, Megan? I don't know.
Yeah, just to kind of go off of that, so Megan and I talked about just how like the dance team goes to nationals every year, and they're heavily underfunded since they're required to bring a coach, and the coach has to pay all of their way. Right now, they're about $2,000 in the hole because everything's coming out of their own pocket. They're in California right now on their way back from nationals. We also just got a request from the speech and debate team for a mid-year because someone qualified for nationals for them too, and we're only able to fund them 1,500 of the total 2,400 that they would need to attend. So this change to add an additional 1,000 to that 4,500 cap for the PCOs would allow us to cover people that qualify for nationals, especially since they're not able to like budget that in at the beginning of the year since you don't know if you're gonna qualify right away. So that's kind of where this was coming from. And then we just kind of picked 1,000 just because going off of the like invoices and budget requests that the dance team sent in, 1,000 just seemed like the most reasonable for their request, I guess. And I yield.
All right, we can now open up discussion.
Co-President Alana Vidalis.
We were talking to Advisor Rubel today, and we were just kind of discussing like the amount of $1,000. We were kind of saying like, will this be enough for organizations in the future? Like that might only be able to cover like 2 to 3 flights, and that's not including like lodging and stuff like that. So we were just kind of curious, like, is $1,000 really gonna help, or do we think that like we could provide some more aid? Or again, like, is this opening a can of worms to like other PCOs that make it to nationals? But we were also debating, well, how many of them are actually gonna make it to nationals? So I just wanted to talk about that. Because if they're flying all the way to like California, is $1,000 like gonna help too much? Or if it's a big organization with several members, does that exclude smaller organizations that need less funding? So yeah, I just wanted to like kind of discuss that amount and what people are thinking. I yield my time.
Senator Alders?
So we had talked a little bit about this in one of the finance committee meetings, and part of the reason why we chose $1,000, especially for the dance team, is because people that grow up like dancing and in organizations like that are already used to paying a significant amount of money for their uniforms and for all of those things. So we felt like the $1,000 could go towards helping them out with this, but then also might encourage them to make like fiscally sound decisions, like flying some country versus the dance team flew Delta, and like depending on which staying in a like more cost-effective hotel, so that you can put this extra $1,000 towards, like, I think the registration cost of the event was like $570, so like registering and helping out with that versus like covering the whole thing. Yeah, I yield my time.
Controller Thompson?
I just want to address a question the previous speaker made. So our current PCOs, or at least the ones this year, are tennis, the equestrian team, men's club hockey, which has already spent all their money and does pretty consistently every year. Nordic ski, men's rugby, quiz bowl, speech and debate, women's Nordic, women's rugby, plus from the meter via dance, and women's lacrosse and Model UN. And I can pretty confidently say, and I know that some other people in the room will agree with me, that there is not a national Model UN tournament, so we're not worried about that. And a lot of the other ones, like, we don't even know if, like, men's rugby, for example, is going to continue to exist past this year, which really hurts my soul. But it just kind of is what it is. So I do not believe it would be opening too much of a can of worms, because I think we'd maybe get about 3 or 4 of these a year. But I'm gonna yield.
And point of inquiry, like, do you think that would be fine for contingency, like, for future Senates?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that would fit in for what.
Yeah, we're just like a little here because like there's probably not going to be as big as an incoming freshman class, which means we're not going to get as much of the student activity fee that we normally get, but I think it should be fine.
Co-President Mikey?
I would like to speak in favor of this amendment. I think it provides an important incentive for our club and primarily competitive organizations to shoot for these national competitions that can put Gustavus on the map, and gives these students like a really important experience to go out and meet students from other schools and compete against, you know, other schools that they wouldn't have the chance to compete against. And if this helps any organization compete at that national level, then I think we're doing a great service to Gustavus and that organization in particular. But if we need to change the amount in future years, we can always do that. We can see where this first 1,000 will take us. And if that is still too high of a barrier for some organizations, I think we can raise that for sure. I think we should just see what happens this year as the national competition season starts to arrive. So I would support this. I yield.
Point of inquiry, if I wanted to motion this, what exactly would I say?
Oh, that's such a great question. So what you'd say is you'd be like, oh my gosh, I would like to motion to vote on passing this bylaw amendment. Senator Fisher.
I would like to motion to vote on passing this bylaw amendment.
Do you have a second? Senator Maurer? Senator Fisher, you have the floor.
Yeah, I think it's just a good idea. I pretty much echo all the previous speakers. I yield my time.
Senator Maurer?
Yeah, I'm on the speaker meeting, so I support this new amendment.
Excellent.
Is there any more discussion? All right, we can now move into a vote. All those in favor of passing the PCO bylaw amendment, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions? The bylaw amendment passes. Next item of business, we have the IGS mid-year.
Yeah, so we received a mid-year request from IGS I think I sent an email to Abby. It's kind of a mess. I didn't make it like very legible yet. But anyways, so the request is for an additional $2,000 to cover a DEI speaker that they will be having an educational for. If you want to scroll over just like a little more. Okay, right there. So a lot of the funding that they received at the beginning of the year went towards other speakers for like new member education and recruitment, correct me if I'm wrong. So that's kind of what they're requesting. The full price is being covered by some other, like the CDI or CIE. Yeah. So they're covering part of the cost of the speaker. So they're just requesting $2,000 to help cover that. And we have some representatives and they can help answer questions or explain further.
Awesome. Well, we can now move into a discussion.
Yeah, Co-President Delano-Rigales.
Do we know why they're not using those $9,000 that they have left to fund this?
Those are reserved for the chapters within like IGS to spend on things such as recruitment and educational, some just community services.
So it's like kind of distributed between the different, okay, awesome. Thank you, I yield my time. Is there any more discussion, questions?
Senator Alders?
So would the speaker be talking to all of the fraternities and sororities?
So the speaker is going to come to us March 16th. They're going to speak to all of us. It's a mandatory educational for all the chapters. It's really to identify some of like, the diversity and inclusion, which we're trying to make happen more in Greek life. We really want to expand ourselves as well, since we're only around 200 members right now. We used to be around 500 about 5 to 6 years ago. So we really want to revive what we had, but also diversify each chapter and include everyone on campus. So I think this is a really good way to start off like the discussion of everything we can, and this speaker is going to help us with as many members as we can get there.
Senator Alders, do you yield your time?
Yeah, sorry.
Controller Thompson?
So if I am understanding this correctly, this would be required for all chapters in addition to the other event on March 5th?
Yes, so like we said, we have two IG, as we would know, IGS educationals. So this is our second educational. So we're gonna have approximately 66% of each chapter, as you know. Mm-hmm. But this is the best way for us to get like inclusion out there and try to provide a better understanding of what that means for each chapter.
Point of inquiry, just out of curiosity, I'm wondering how much the funds are coming from, because you said there was also some other sources covering portions of the speaker, like how much is that like for the other portions?
Doug Thompson is covering $1,200, and then Pam Hellenic is covering an additional $1,000.
Okay, thank you.
Ombudsperson Nelson?
Can you go over what these funds would cover?
Just the price of the speaker in total is
$4,200.
Thank you,
Amy. Co-President Delano Vidalis, and then Senator Alders will be after her.
I just wanted to see like what the Finance Committee thought about this. Are you guys in full support? Do you think this will leave our contingency at a good amount?
Yeah, after our meeting, we said that we fully supported this, especially since it's like, it's for like very cool event that they're really trying to promote this year. It leaves our contingency at $57,261, so still in a really healthy range. I mean, advisory rules, like we've gone into years of a $15,000 contingency, so I'm not too worried about it, but yeah, so we were in support of this.
Awesome. Well, it seems like they've already looked for other sources of funding. On their own, which I think is great, and I think it's also great to try and shed some light on this issue, especially in areas like fraternities and sororities. I don't think that diversity is much talked about in that, and I think that's a good place to start. So I support funding this mid-year. If anybody wants to motion for that, I yield my time.
All right, Senator Alders?
I motion to vote on the mid-year.
Do I have a second? Senator Usmanova on the second. Senator Alders, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just think that for something that's going to be an event that's for 200 members of our student body, allocating them the $2,000 that they're asking for, it doesn't seem like it's that big of an impact on our budget. And yeah, I yield my time.
Senator Usmanova? Is there any other discussion?
Seeing none, we can now move into a vote. All those in favor of passing the IGS mid-year, please raise your placards now. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, the mid-year passes. Congratulations, guys. You're welcome to stay or leave.
Okay. Thank you very much for your guys' time. Have a good rest of the night.
All right, now we can move into the women's lacrosse mid-year.
Yeah, one second. I'm so sorry. Okay. I think that's part of that email as well. So we received a mid-year request from the women's lacrosse team. Initially, their request was for $3,250. The only amount of that they clarify what they would be spending the money on was for the $1,523 in the field rental portion. Sorry, this is like a really confusing spreadsheet since some of the items are from previously requested in the last semester, and then all of the field rentals and dome rentals are for this semester that they're requesting. So the finance committee really only recommends the $1,523 that will cover the amount of the rentals that they're requiring. And then they did not clarify the $3,250 or where they got that from. I emailed them to reach out and see if someone wanted to come, and I did not hear back or anything. So that is our recommendation right now.
Point of information. If I'm correct, I believe that the $3,250 comes from the PCO cap on registration, transportation, lodging of 45, minus their already allocated $1,250.
That is very likely, yes. She did not clarify in the email as well. She just said that requesting $3,250 with at least enough to cover the field rental. So that's how that was worded. So yes, I yield.
Okay, we can open up a discussion.
Senator Alders?
So I know they're not here to have a lot of discussion on this matter, but I think that the best thing to do would be to do what we've done in the past with very vague budget requests and to approve the $1,250 that we know what it's for, and then to ask for more information about the remainder of the budget. Yeah, I yield my time.
Co-President Menke?
Yeah, they're not here because they're practicing right now. But I do think that women's lacrosse is an excellent organization, and it's a great sport, and I think we should fund what our finance committee has recommended for us, the $1,250 for the field rentals.
Just a clarification, it's actually for the $1,523. The $1,250 is what they requested last semester to cover their member dues and then the lacrosse membership.
Did we say 15?
Yes, sorry, technically it's 1524. We just rounded up 46 cents on that dome rental at the end there, so.
Wait, point of inquiry, what's a dome?
Like a soccer, like the soccer bubble, like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Speaker Bailey?
Yeah, this all sounds pretty legit to me. I'd say we move to vote on passing the $1,523 amount for this budget.
Mm-hmm. Senator Fisher?
I believe as a previous speaker, you'll have time.
Okay.
Never mind. I motion to vote on this budget for the $1,524.
Excellent. Do we have a second? Senator Usmanova on the second. Senator Fisher, you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm in the finance committee and we talked about this, and I just think that, especially just because of Moses Bag, that's the only more definite side of things. We should just go for that. I yield my time.
Excellent. Senator Usmanova?
I also think passing a part of it is reasonable, and then we can decide on the rest. I yield.
Point of inquiry, would we have to table the remainder of the budget for later or something?
No, we're just approving it for the...
So the finance committee's recommendation.
Yeah, I think if anything, they can always come back if they need more money. But for now, we'll just approve the $1,500. Is there any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we can now move into a vote. All those in favor? All those opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, the budget passes. Up next, we have the honors board appointments. Okay. So typically, we have one student representative serving on the honors board. Last semester, it was Reed K. I don't know how to say his last name. Yes. But he graduated in December. So right now, we are trying to fill that spot. We have Tatum.
Bachelder.
We have her agreeing to come in and step in for spring semester. This would mean that next year Senate would have to find somebody else for the full year for next year, but for now Tatum has agreed to just step in and take Reed's place so that we have just a closed position, not have that open.
Point of inquiry, what is the honors board?
That is a great question. We were talking to Advisor Rubel about that today. But Senate usually just approves. So the Honors Board role at Gustavus is to assist in resolving alleged cases of academic dishonesty and to oversee the Gustavus Honor Code and academic honesty policy.
I know what this is. Okay, so they have several boards. They're made up of faculty, administrators, and different things. They do the honor board, which is for situations of academic misconduct. So if someone was caught cheating on a paper or whatever, you go in front of the board, and they have usually one or two students sit on those. It's the same thing with conduct ones, right, where they get to the point where you go in front of a board. It's a board of your peers, faculty, and an administrator. So this would be a student to sit on those honor board, I guess, trials, you could say, so to speak, but yeah, go for it.
Yeah, just to start out, I think it's great that we're not super familiar with this organization. It's good that not a lot of us have sat in front of an honors board. It's good that we're not super familiar with this, but it is a really... It's a really important organization, not an organization, it's a really important group of students. It's a really important part of our campus life to protect ourselves and our faculty from academic dishonesty. And I think it's really great that we have a replacement so late in the year. And so in order to get this replacement confirmed, it would just require a motion from a voting member and a majority vote. I yield.
Co-President Delona.
I just want to make it known that Tatum and Reed were really good friends, so I know that Reed has passed along any information that she would need. So I feel fully confident that Tatum can walk into this knowing exactly what to do and knowing a lot more than we do. I yield my time.
Senator Usmanova?
I would like to motion to confirm the appointment.
Awesome. So we just need one motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Point of inquiry, sorry. How did Tatum get nominated for the board? Did Reed do that, or?
According to Megan, she was talking to him and agreed to step in after he graduated.
Usually they help find their own replacements, if you graduate or something, because the applications for those kind of things only go out a certain time of the year, so if someone graduates early or something, in this case, they wouldn't have been able to schedule those out into the spring, because usually someone in our office will schedule them all and has everyone at which appointments that they can be to and things like that.
Yeah, and Reed also served on the Student Life Committee for the Board of Trustees, and I know the person that replaced him was in contact with him, and nobody really was, like, we like told about that, but I know that he took care of it, just told somebody, trained that person, and we saw them at the next meeting. So I'm fully confident that they'll know what to do. Mm-hmm. And according to the website, applications are given every 3 years. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why.
The last time we got sent them was last year? Last year. In the spring, so.
And I believe it was Senator Fisher was the second.
There only needs to be one motion.
Okay.
So we can just go right into a vote. Unless anyone has anything to say. Do you have anything to say on the motion, Senator?
No, I think it's a great thing to do. I just hope not many students end up going there.
IU. Perfect.
All right, we can now move into a vote. All those in favor of approving the appointment? All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right, seeing none, the appointment passes. Kind of continuing on our student reps, we have faculty, admin, and board committee representatives up next.
I can introduce this item of new business. As we just did there, as you all saw, we just nominated somebody to be a part of the college committee, or in this case, the honors board. And that is one of the roles that Student Senate plays, but it's something that not a lot of people know about. And you wouldn't think that we actually do that because currently all of our college and all of our faculty, administrative, and Board of Trustees committees, the application and selection process is run through our Dean of Students, Jonas Van Hecke, and we basically take that list, and as co-presidents, we are the ones who technically nominate them through that list. So it's listed in the bylaws that one of the duties of co-presidents is to nominate and for the Senate to confirm these appointments. We feel like it might be good to take a more active role in this appointment process. And that could involve us accepting applications for and selecting representatives for these faculty, administration, and Board of Trustees committees. So I think with that, it might be good for us to brainstorm how we want to go about this process if we're interested. And one idea that I had and that Co-President Alono and Advisor Rubel and I were talking about is to find a more active way for Senate to be involved in this process. And that might involve a sort of bylaw amendment. And it might be interesting if the Ethics Committee could take this on if they feel comfortable with that, to see if there's anything we can do to gain a little more control or a little more choice in this matter. So. With that, I'll open the discussion if we want to talk about this. With that, I yield.
Point of inquiry, for a bylaws amendment, what would you want that amendment to do exactly? Like, what would be changed exactly?
I think it could do lots of things. I think that it should be, a collaborative process to sort of consider how we nominate these people and, what it takes for us to get more control over that process. It could involve a discussion with Dean of Students, Jonas Van Hecke, to see if her office is comfortable with us, sending out applications and making the choices. So I guess that's one way we could do it.
Sure. So I work in the Dean's office. I have for 4 years, and so it's been really neat to be able to see the other side of things, and I think that Senate should definitely take more of an active role in that, because I still think there's a big gap between like the student action side, the student government, and the administrative side. And I think that this would be a really great way to close the gap and also to become more involved as a Senate in this role. But I yield my own time. Okay. Chair Taylor.
It's not every year that we appoint new people for every single position. Most of the time they just stay on. Like, say, 2 years ago, I was on the ISLO committee. And I was nominated to that committee to serve during my sophomore year, and I've been a part of it since then. But when I graduate, there will be an opening on that committee. And so Student Senate is the group that is responsible for filling that sort of vacancy, just like we did with the Honors Board. And so this would apply to all sort of future appointments in that case.
I meant more like adding to committees, or like, so I already have a certain position on the President's Council. Could I like add another person so I could have like more people backing me?
Oh,
if that makes sense, or no?
That would be the decision of that committee to add more members.
Okay.
We can only appoint people to fill the seats that have been created already.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's a good question though.
Chair Doran.
Yeah, I think that so a lot of Student Senate cabinet members know to apply to these committees because we know about them through Senate, and I think that that gives us a good connection to some of the committees that us cabinet members are on. And as like a member of, I'm on the Academic Technology Committee because I'm the tech chair, and so that's kind of the role I've been filling. But it's really helpful for them to have student input, and I think that a previous speaker brought up a great point in like, what if we expanded the amount of student input or just brought different perspectives as well? But I think there's a huge amount of committees that we have no connection with and we don't even communicate with much because there are student reps who aren't in Senate and there's not a lot of collaboration between us. And so I think facilitating the process and working with the dean's office to figure out how we're doing through like an application process and how we can stay connected as a group would be very helpful as like collecting those student leaders on campus and figuring out what's going on in each of those committees so that we can have insight into like, oh, on the curriculum committee, what's going on? Because no one here is on the curriculum committee, or someone is? No, I can't remember. Anyway, okay. So like, exactly, like there's student reps on all these different committees, and I think we can better suit our students if we're able to hear what's going on in those, and maybe that's a monthly update. They have to stop in at the beginning and have a community comment or something like that. And I think if we facilitate slash work with the Dean of Students Office to come up with the application, then that's more integrated into it, like as a part of the responsibilities. And I think as well, like we have a good gauge of the campus body. We have a diverse group of people from different majors and different backgrounds and different interests on the Senate who can help spread the word about these committees and who might be interested and who might have something they're passionate about that they can talk about. So I think it would be a very integrated process with the Dean of Students Office that would improve our campus life in a way that, or in our ability to influence campus life in a way we haven't been able to in the past because we just haven't had that connection. So I really encourage us to explore this option, and I think it would be really beneficial overall for both the committees and the Senate body. I yield my time.
Speaker Bailey?
Yes, so a lot of what I was gonna say was covered by Tech Chair Doran. However, well, yeah, I had like three ideas. One of them was definitely, yeah, like have them actually come into meetings, because I think that would be sort of probably like the biggest thing that we could do in order to like find out. Because if we know what's happening on those boards, then like we might have more of a like a knowledge of what's going on our campus, and because of that we'd be able to affect more things on this campus because we'd know like what was being voted on, what was being talked about. So I think that's a really good idea. I'm on the ethics committee. I know that I would be very interested in looking into this. I think that also, yeah, like having, I guess a quick point of inquiry in the middle of me already having the floor. Is this something where like, do you want the Senate body to have more control and maybe even like choosing the people? Like, or do you want that still just to be like the co-president's choice?
It could act a lot like how we currently choose cabinet members. That's how it's written. And so it could be changed in any number of ways to be more inclusive of, you know, the student Senate feedback. I think that would be good as long as it doesn't like super draw out the process, because there's a lot of these positions that we have to go through. And I feel like a lot of the work we can do is in the recruitment process.
Like 45 students maybe?
Yeah. It's like at least 30 students.
Yeah. So it's not like, yeah.
Yeah. And so it might be a cumbersome process, but if we feel like it's important for student Senate input to be factored in, then that's a really important thing. And I'm willing to, I think, I'm willing to consider everything personally. But with that, I trust the ethics committee to think of some good solutions, however they see fit.
Chair Doran?
Right. Yeah, just to keep things short, I agree with that. Now you have my time.
Senator Alders?
So I am just, I don't even know, like, what my, like, true point is, but as a person who, like, just really got involved in, like, the more academic side of student organizations this year, I will say it has been frustrating to, like, find out that all of these things, like, existed and that they're, like, very, like, I would even say, like, the fact that they exist is very, I feel like, under communicated to the student body. So maybe, like, going beyond, like, having Senate take an active role in, like, understanding what's going on for the students currently in the committees, we need to, like, add to either A, like, add to the number of students who serve on the committees, or B, figure out a better way to communicate to the student body when, like, chairs are open on these committees. Because, you know, like, as a person that didn't know that any of this stuff existed, I, like, will talk to people about even Senate and they don't know it exists. Like, how do you not know that Senate exists? And people are like, oh my gosh, like, I would have ran for that if I'd known that it was here. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we need to do, and maybe this is like a whole Senate thing, or maybe this is like a Gustavus in general needs to do a better job of communicating a lot of, like, the academic, like, the more academic groups that are really entwined with the Dean of Students Office and all that stuff, their availability to students. Yeah, I yield.
Co-President Aloma Vidalis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I second Speaker Bailey and Chair Doran's points, and I really agree with what Senator Alders just said. I think that a lot of these weren't, I'm pretty sure we got, like, one email from either, like, Megan or Joness, like,
yeah,
whenever something's available, people apply. Joness kind of makes a list of who she wants or some ideas, and then the co-presidents just approve it. So I think it would be wise to just charge the Ethics Committee with, like, looking into possible solutions to that, how we can publicize it to the student body, and maybe come up with a bylaw amendment through that. Just charging them to, like, kind of deal with the issue, not specifically saying, like, bring us back a bylaw amendment by next Monday, but rather think of solutions, talk to committee members, talk to us at cabinet. But I think, yeah, I think we need to make this a little more accessible, and it also puts all of the work on our deans. So that's also something that we can help them out with. I yield my time.
Point of information, I found what I did to apply last year. Jonas sent out one email to the students L email alias on April 5th last year, and basically said, here are the applications. Oh, Tuesday, April 6th at noon. She must have sent one more out, because that would be a crazy turnaround. Anyway, you have to get it done in a day. Anyway, but, like, I think it's just through students' email, and if you, like, I don't read my email enough to catch that if I didn't know about the thing already. So I think it was a great point that was brought up, so that I just wanted to throw out. That's how it's been done, and room for improvement. I yield.
Ombudsperson Nelson.
Yeah, I agree with the sentiments of all the previous speakers. I completely agree that one email is not an efficient or effective way of getting the message out, because unless if you read those emails every single day, you might miss it. And that makes it inaccessible to all students when it should be something that students are able to, like, know about and even have a decision to join. So I'd be happy to look into this, and also helping to integrate, like, Senate's relationship with the representatives on those committees. I yield.
Point of information, I think that's what it would be. But yeah, I just want to say, like, this also could have been something that could have helped us with, like, the curriculum committee, because we have three student representatives on that. And if Senate would have had a more active role, we wouldn't have been, like, completely blindsided with what was going on. So also just, like, thinking about improving communication with those student reps and, like, making sure they're coming back and, like, updating us on what's happening.
Speaker Bailey?
Yes, I motion to charge this to the Ethics Committee.
Do we have a second? Senator Fisher on the second. Speaker Bailey, you have the floor.
Right. As a member of the Ethics Committee, I think this is something that is super up our alley to be looking into. This seems like a very important issue that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about, and I look forward to hopefully being able to investigate this further. I yield my time.
So for bestie, Senator Fisher?
I go to the previous speaker. I yield my time.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, we can now move into a vote. All those in favor of charging the Ethics Committee, please raise your placards now. All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Seeing none, the Ethics Committee is charged. Yay. Okay. Up next, we have Bring Back the Sauna. This one's me. I was talking to a friend, and she said that the sauna has been closed the entire year because of COVID, but now that the masking requirements have been lifted, she doesn't know if it's open yet, and I didn't hear back, but I just wanted to bring it up in case A, anybody knew, or B, we just wanted to like go ahead and charge health and housing. Now that the mask mandates are off, we should see if we can reopen that.
Point of information, it is open. I know people that have gone.
So. Oh, perfect. Then never mind.
I don't know their hours off the top of my head, but I think that something lung related would probably help with that.
Point of information, I think it's kind of related to the same as the pool hours. Mm-hmm. I just know this because my roommates have been in it the past 4 days. They have been
I guess I still have time. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the hot tub open as well?
I think the hot tub is broken.
It's what?
Well, the hot tub was broken for a while. So.
Okay.
Rip.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It may be fixed now, but for a while it was.
Fix the hot tub. No.
I yield my time.
Okay. Excellent. Ombudsperson Nelson.
My point was already stated. I yield my time.
Oh. Congratulations to Asana being back, everyone.
All right, well, now we can move into the next item of new business, which is the new housing protocol and requirements.
Speaker Bailey?
Yeah, I added this literally in the middle of the meeting, so that's why it's there now. But just in general, I will admit, like, this isn't a fully thought out idea, but I do think it's something that we should start thinking about discussing. Is like, as everyone's probably aware, they did change like the protocols of housing for this coming year, and they made it so primarily only rising seniors have the ability to get into any apartments, as well as off campus, as well as I think those are the main two, but this is new, and I think I've heard, I mean, like, I know we had people come in and talk about this. And I know it seems like kind of a dicey issue to tackle. However, I know a lot of the student body is very upset with how housing has been treated and how they've been treated within housing for years and years and years. And this seems like the correct body to me to maybe start just sort of brainstorming like what we can do. Because it's not something that, of course, we can really do with our own money, but we can do it like with influence. Like this is a situation where perhaps if we get together and sort of start like thinking about how we could actually sort of convince, I don't know, like the administration to either change or alter this, like we could perhaps have some influence as we do represent the student body. I think going forward, maybe even like surveys to do with like what student body is like thinking about these things and like if they're generally satisfied or dissatisfied, and then moving into like what we can do about that would be a pertinent idea. And yes, I yield my time.
Co-President Ilona Vidalis.
Yeah, I agree with Speaker Bailey. To me, this just is starting to seem like a rest life, like institutional problem. And even having them at our meeting, it was like, yeah, this is the way it's always worked. Like, sucks for you. Maybe you'll get into an apartment. And I just think that like, as a residential college, we should be making sure that people get their first choice. I know, like, particularly, like, I got into Chapel View, but that's only because I had to submit accommodations, and so did my other roommate, and now they're making that even harder for people to do. So I don't know. I think we need to look into it. You know, this is kind of like the CAF thing, where there might be too much going on, and we're not sure. But it's also something that keeps, it's a problem that I keep seeing every single year that I've been here since I was a freshman, and I would like to see something done about it. Maybe we could motion to charge health and housing, and we can just start looking into that, talking to some CFs, talking to Res Life, anybody that has information, but this is just a recurring problem. I yield my time.
Mm-hmm. Chair DeWarren?
Yeah, I think that tackling this will require us to get in contact with people who are I don't know if there's a committee for housing or like a board of trustees. I don't know. There needs to be some like external research, I think, done before we start making demands, making requests, because as we saw with like the Linnaeus deliberation circle, as we've seen with the curriculum, the SUS requirement, this college isn't able to make change unless we kind of, like, we need that initial force of like student feedback and like we the students request you and like demand you to make these changes, but also here is a feasible way to make those changes. I think making requests for new buildings and the everything to be fixed perfectly is something that's not going to be attainable and just going to end up with us being upset and putting time into something that's not actually effective. So I think that this is something that needs to be talked about, and it's something that we're, it's hard. It's kind of like a big issue to tackle, and so it's hard to get started on it because, like, where do you even start? But I think that it's a great idea for us to get started now. If we approach it in the right way, which it's hard to know what the right way is, but especially with, like, communicating with the key stakeholders. So from a student perspective, we kind of feel like we're the voice in the body of this college when really we have alumni and trustees and faculty and staff and all these different people who have an equally large part of this conversation. And so I think getting in touch with those people would be the first step. And so I would encourage health and housing, if they were charged with this, to have that be their first step, is finding out what is going on, like a previous speaker mentioned with the CAF. I didn't understand how much was going on behind the scenes that we didn't like actually know about. And so, yeah, I think that's all I need to say right now. But it would be something that would be hard to, when we approach it, like in terms of a survey, I think without a survey, we can speak honestly about the student body and say, students are not pleased with housing. And I think bringing survey results will, and saying students are not satisfied with housing, they already know that. I think that's not something that will be super effective. However, talking to them and saying, what are our options and how can we help you brainstorm more options that are actually helping students in a way that makes the housing situation better for students, as well as keeps in mind what's realistic. So I just wanted to mention that, and yeah, no, what did I have? I don't know who wrote that. You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you yield your time?
I yield my time.
Excellent. Senator Alders?
So, as a sophomore and the president or the senator for the sophomore class, these like new rules have primarily affected rising juniors, and because of that, I personally have been extremely frustrated, and so has my class, and I've been thinking a lot about this. And I also feel like it's something that needs to be talked about, because there are disparities in our housing system that I think that the college and like the higher ups of the college that give preferential treatment or tell students who they personally know them, or students who have parents that have donated a lot of money to the college, tell them to go one direction with how they submit certain housing forms. And because of that, like, I personally know people who have benefited from this, and that's extremely frustrating for someone who isn't of that status or isn't in that position. And because of that, I do think that this needs to be looked into. And I think that the college needs to know that people recognize when things like that happen. Like, even if they don't personally know about it, like, that doesn't get swept behind the rug and shut the door. People recognize that, and it's been brought up to me of the particular students in my class that have benefited from this. Additionally, I have done some like brainstorming about this, so I would say whichever committee this gets charged to, I think something that we could all think about is like, in addition to the point system just being like a random like monopoly and based on your class, you could talk about things like adding points for being in sports or being involved in student life, which would make it less of like a random draw lottery, and like would give like preferential treatments to extra involved students with better GPAs, and like that would be an incentive for students to become more involved and do better in classes. So with that, I would motion to charge the looking into housing protocols to the Health and Housing Committee.
Do we have a second? Speaker Bailey on the second. Senator Alders, you have the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I really just talked about most of my ideas, so yeah.
Okay. Speaker Bailey?
Yeah, I think a lot of that was very informative what the previous speaker said, and like these are all like rising juniors, that's correct. Like that is a big group that is affected. Everyone in general is affected. Even like people who are living with people of mixed grades are affected. Like it kind of affects a lot of people. I will say that it does, I feel like it would become a little bit of a popularity contest. We went a little bit too much with the GPA, and if you're involved in sports, if you're not involved, but we could look into like ways that the points could be counted that isn't just purely based on credits. That could maybe be discussed, but yeah, I think that obviously I brought this to the floor, so I think this needs to be looked into, so I yield my time.
Great. And then Director Wyam, do you have any comments about the motion or about the topic at hand before we move into a vote?
Yeah, I was just going to add in, like, I think one thing that stood out to me when we had ResLife come and talk to us was that they're not in charge of making these decisions. This is all just more of their higher-ups, so I feel like the first step would be communicating with them who is making the decisions and then reaching out to those people. Additionally, I'm thinking about like just different options, because I know that I have friends that go to Bethel and they're a residential college too, but they also don't have to apply to live off campus. You pay like a $500 deposit to the college for the year, and then you're able to live off campus. While yes, that does cause even that more disparity for people that may not be able to afford that, I do see that being helpful for some of those people that really want to live off campus no matter what, and if they're trying to apply for it, may become a bigger issue. So I was just putting that out there for thought. I yield.
Yeah, I really like what you said, Director Ryan. I know Ben and I like serve on MAPSIS, so for the other private colleges. So if anything, Ben and I can look into talking to like St. Thomas, St. Ben's, or whatever, and seeing how they do their like lottery system, and we can kind of bring that back to you guys and let you know. I just think whatever system we have right now isn't working. And with that, I yield my time.
Is there any more discussion on the topic at hand or the motion?
All right, seeing none, we can now move into a vote. All those in favor of charging health and housing with looking into this? All those opposed? Any abstentions? Nice. Seeing none, the motion passes. And we can now move into announcements. Are there any? Oh, yeah, my bad. Is there any new business?
That was the most timid.
Sorry. We can now move into announcements.
Okay, hold on. That's a lot of announcements. Okay.
Whoa. Okay, maybe not that many.
Okay, so anyone else? You're already on there.
Oh, yeah.
You have two? Okay.
Well, yeah, but I can do it. Or,
no, I'm first.
Oh, you're first. Yeah. Oh.
Remember, put the cards up at once. It's Building Bridges Week. If you have not yet, Building Bridges tickets are available at Gustavus, like the ticketing. Website, they're free for students, $5 if you want to attend the luncheon during the day, but we've been working really hard all year, and it's talking about education justice, so how to make higher education and like any source of information less gatekeepy and more equitable. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have events every night this week. There's one over in Anderson right now, which is trivia with SEA, and yeah, we have events every day, so I think... You know.
Point of inquiry, did you talk about the Spirit Week?
Yeah. So we have Spirit Day dress up days.
What?
So today was rodeo day. I had this outfit planned in advance, so I didn't dress up, but we have like Frat Sorority Day. We have Dress Like Your Major Day. Different things like that. Yeah, I will send the information to everyone after the meeting with like the dress up days and also the events, because I can't remember them off the top of my head, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So I encourage you to participate in any way that you can if you are so inclined.
Oh, shoot.
Co-president Mikey.
All right, I have two announcements. So first one is Today is an election day, so you should all vote. You have until 10 p.m. to vote, actually.
Yeah.
So please encourage all your roommates and all your friends to vote, because everyone can vote for co-president, and it's the first time in 3 years that we've had a contested election, mm-hmm. which is really exciting. We also have a bunch of other positions. Tell people to write in their friends if there are no candidates, or if there are candidates. So tell people to vote, and vote if you haven't already. My second announcement is that based on a lot of the conversation, I feel like it would be really good to email all of our student reps on the faculty, administration, and board of trustee committees. And I plan on doing that tonight because I have just secured a list of everyone who's on a committee. And I would really like for every committee to have at least one representative come to a Senate meeting. And if you are a representative, I would really like it. It would be great if you gave a speech on like an update on your committee, but
speech.
It would also be really cool to have people who aren't on who aren't members of Senate come to speak. So just get in touch with the members of your committee and see if anyone is interested in coming in, because it would be really helpful. I yield.
Chair Taylor?
I'm just going to be short. I'm so sorry. I'm doing a research project kind of thing where I'm trying to do a survey for the student body, and I would need student senate's approval. However, I need to go through a research thing before, because this testing is a test subject kind of thing, so I'm getting the identity, not really, not the names or anything, but like the class year, the curriculum, and or the major. So I'm just pitching that out, because I did pitch it out to the President's Council, and they thought it was cute. So I'm just going to try with y'all. So yeah, I yield my time.
Chair Aller.
This weekend on Sunday, Maliwen is having a simulation. The topic is the lead up to World War I, so that's fun. It is in Anderson 104 from 10 to 12, and there will be free pizza, so it's a lot like Senate. It's very fun. Get to pretend to be.
It's really fun.
So,
yes.
That is. On Sunday, you can go to Building Bridges still.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Saturday. This is on Sunday, so lots of fun. Also, next weekend, we're going up to the cities to do more fun simulations. So you should reach out to me if you're interested in that.
Point of inquiry, is next week the build up to World War III? Because I think that would be really fun.
Ben's just rooming.
Y'all are massively overreacting.
I'm scared. I read too much news.
You best be reading the news using the newspaper online readership program. You best be. If you don't have the New York Times app installed on your phone.
I think you should put that on Yik Yak. Want to read about World War
III? Use the Student Senate sponsored online readership program. Okay.
Sorry.
Chair
Doran.
Chair
Doran, do you have an announcement?
Yes, I do. If you want to know about... No, I'm kidding. Senators, you are required to do tabling and office hours, and it's kind of been slipping away. So, starting next week... watch out for an email from me tonight. You are required to sign up for tabling outside the CAF. We're going to reinstate the 5-7 tabling that occurred
many years ago.
Yeah, before I was on Senate. And it's outside the CAF on Mondays from 5-7. If you have a conflict and cannot make it during those 2 hours directly before the meetings on Mondays, please contact me very soon, because that will be part of your requirement, is doing some of those tabling hours every month. You also will be required to have individual office hours, and you can hold those either in the Gusty Den outside of the Student Senate office, or you can hold those wherever you'd like, really. You just have to tell your constituencies about that. And so I'll have an email coming out about that tonight or tomorrow morning. But know that you are required to sign up for those. And if you do not, I will be sending you so many emails, you will hate me forever. So that is all I have to announce. Also, use the online readership program. I yield.
Benjamin.
I yield.
Okay, great. Co-president, a little bit all.
Yes, as per the Constitution and the bylaws, senators are required to serve on two committees. So if you are not finding a time to meet with your committee, or you're not being fully active in it, I encourage you to play more of a role in that. We're starting to see a problem with senators not showing up, not going to meetings, or just not communicating well. Just, you know, helps everybody, helps the student body, and that's your position. So please talk to your chairs if there's an issue or any conflicts, but make sure you're meeting with them. And please go to the open meeting tomorrow for Indigenous Relations. It's also a way of holding us accountable. Like, we ran on this platform about how we care about Indigenous Relations. We created a whole committee for it. So I think we should keep up with what we've been talking about, and just making sure we're following through on what we've been advocating for. I yield my time. Are there any more announcements? Seeing none, at 8:12 p.m., this meeting is adjourned. Ooh, that was on the screen.